All right, good evening and welcome to the January 7th regular meeting of the Croton on Hudson Board of Trustees. I'm Mayor Brian Pugh. Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Born and unborn.
All right, first item of business is the approval of vouchers. Treasurer?
Good evening. Okay, for the general fund, we have $443,335.62. For the water fund, we have $56,798.07. Sewer fund is $981.33. The capital fund is for $43,244.09. And the trust fund is for $780 even.
Do I have a motion to adopt?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Trustee Simon, second by Trustee Nicholson. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, excellent. Okay, we proceed to the consensus agenda. Or rather, excuse me, what am I saying? Responses to questions submitted via email.
No questions, Mayor.
Okay, public comment on agenda items.
Is Ed Riley from Truesdale Drive? That was quick. On 6A, paragraph 3, memo from the village manager, Brian Healy, regarding new renewable diesel initiatives. Hopefully that will give her the opportunity that the village manager will go into more detail on this initiative. As with many environmental projects sponsored by groups in Croton, every environmental project, including this one, should be viewed with some skepticism based upon a past hysteria or claims that prove to be invalid. That's not to say that this or other initiatives aren't valuable, both to the environment and economically to the village. So hopefully the village manager or some other member of the board will address that when they have a chance. On item number 4, that's 6A, paragraph IV, 4. The Conservation Advisory Council, if you look at their report, which is submitted today, I understand the chairman's stepping down as of December 31st, and the members of that board, I only attended two or three of their meetings, but the amount that they have accomplished on a voluntary basis is almost heroic, and therefore they are to be congratulated and encouraged, and the staffing of that that committee and that council hopefully will be at the same level it is now or maybe even surpasses that, but it's a outstanding example of volunteerism at its very best and strenuous volunteerism if you look at some of the things they do. Lastly, in my comments is paragraph 7A regarding the Half Moon Bay Bridge. There's a lot of concern about the Half Moon Bay area because of past proposals as to what happens to the warehouse, the tire warehouse, et cetera. Hopefully someone here will go into detail about the bridge, what will happen to the bridge, what it'll look like when it's finished, the capacity of the bridge, and what is anticipated in that neighborhood, especially for that warehouse plot, which Croton's on pins and needles about what happens there. Thank you.
My name's Judy Rayer on 3 Gerstein Street. I'm talking about the dog park. Very happy to see that hours may be extended till 6 p.m. on the weekends. It's very difficult for some people to get to the dog park on the weekend. Some people do work from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., 4 p.m. And so it's nice to be able to extend the hours. What was the other thing? Oh, and as far as the residents who are not village residents being able to use the dog park, I think that is a good step in the right direction, because people live in Croton, they want to be able to use the dog park. So I guess we'll see how this works. The other question that I have is for if we have guests in our family who actually want to take our dogs in. Let's say if I go on vacation and my son is living in my house, or he lives in Montrose, he should be able to take the dog to the dog park without getting a ticket. Or if we have guests coming in from out of town, we would like to bring those people to the dog park with us. I understand that that we don't have the dog's records here in Croton, but if that is something that they should bring with them to make sure that the dog is safe, that's agreeable. But that's what I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to comment?
John Sasso, 87 Morningside Drive. I just wasn't clear. Is there going to be a vote on that tonight?
There's not going to be a vote on it tonight.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to add a piece. I'm on the Recreation Council. And I play bocce, as most people here know. I'm there every day. Barking is not an issue at the dog park, I can tell you that. We have several groups that play. Debbie, the chair of the committee, and I have interviewed many people down there. We never see more than 4 or 5, and we never hear at the dog park. We're at the bocce courts, we never hear a dog bark. In 2 years, I heard one dog barking, except for there's one dog that yaps. We call it the yapper. And there's a rooster. And they both live on the other side of the river. And that's part of what the ambiance is down there. And that happens. But the rooster, something must have happened, because we haven't heard from him for a while. But he didn't know the difference between 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. The dog park people are very committed and very pleased. And we've spoken to them. People who work for the railroad, nurses, and they would like to be able to take their dogs down on the weekend. And this is a big event, even if it's 2 hours. And it's not been an issue. It's never crowded, and the dogs are not a distraction. I interviewed several groups that play bocce, and no one ever hears their dogs barking. So I just want to add that to your consideration. Thank you.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. Seeing no one wishing to comment, we will proceed to the report of the village manager in the new fashion.
Thank you, Mayor. To start with the question that was raised during the public comment period, as I detailed a little bit in my memo, we are switching over all of our diesel vehicles to the renewable diesel fuel that we have been piloting for the past couple of months. This initiative came to us through the Sustainability Committee based on successful transitions at Westchester County Airport, the Village of Tuckahoe, and New York City, which all have transitioned some or all of their fleet to this renewable diesel fuel. The Sustainability Committee obviously was very supportive of it because of its significant effect on the reduction of CO2 emissions and the decrease in the village's carbon footprint. And so obviously this board has been supportive of their efforts over the years and wanted to move forward with this additional step. There is an additional cost for this fuel. It's not a hugely significant amount. And the village board last year, I think it was maybe the beginning of 2025, chose to allocate the funds that are coming in from the lease of the DPW garage for the solar canopy that's there, which is approximately $26,000 a year. Those funds are being put towards sustainable efforts now, and whatever the difference is in the cost of the diesel fuel will be paid for out of those funds. So there shouldn't be a fiscal impact to the budget. So
that $26,000 is more than enough to cover any differential. Is that correct?
As it is priced right now, right? I mean,
of
that's
course.
With the caveat of things can change, but as of right now, it should be enough.
Yeah, Manager, just a clarification. While we talk about expanding this program, we're expanding it into vehicles that are already diesel powered. This is
correct.
Not all of our vehicles or any vehicle. It's got to be an existing diesel vehicle.
Right. Correct. Yep. Okay, so then just also a point that was raised by one of the commenters. People, residents who have the parks ID cards are entitled to bring guests with them to the parks. So if you had a visitor from out of town who was visiting you and you wanted to bring them to Senosqua or Black Rock or wherever, you are entitled to do that as a holder of the parks ID. So the current rules for the dog park do not allow out-of-town dogs. So you're not allowed. You can't bring a dog to the dog park. But if you wanted to bring your friend with your dog to the park, you can do that.
In the situation, I could probably refresh on this myself. But the equivalent of a dog sitter, say it was, as I think our speaker mentioned, if it was a child, son or a daughter that was watching your dog properly registered and you are an ID holder, how does that work for the dog park?
As the rules are right now, if you don't have the ID card, you're not able to use the park. So if whoever was watching whoever the dog walker was or the dog sitter, if they weren't a resident of the village or the school district and they weren't entitled to have a pass of their own, they wouldn't be able to bring the dog there.
Okay. We probably have to work on that one.
Yeah, I mean, I think the intention of the mayor and the board is that we'll be reviewing these at a future work session, right? So I think we're going to work through some of these recommendations.
Right. So I think it's reasonable to say I'm here with my mom's dog, and here's her park pass. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah. Or allow people the opportunity to purchase
guest passes.
Yeah. Right. Or you know, I mean, in a previous role that I had, right, we had a swimming pool, and people were allowed to buy season passes for their babysitters.
Yeah.
Right. They were included for an additional fee. They were included under their membership.
Yeah, we did that with residential parking in our old neighborhoods.
So. Yeah. So there's definitely things, you know, if there's a desire on behalf of the board and on behalf of the residents to have that, you know, there's certainly a way to make it work.
Yeah.
Okay. So okay. So the rest of my report. This is our first meeting with our new camera system. Hopefully those who are watching it at home, I've been looking. It is a much crisper image, so because we're now streaming in HD. So that's exciting. Hopefully also that the buzz is now gone because the wiring for the speaker system has been relocated into the control room. It used to be located here at the dais, and so it had a lot more opportunities to fail along the route. And so now it's everything is located as much as possible in that control room. So that is very exciting. And we're also in the process of installing the assisted listening system that we purchased. There is the first part of it has been installed on the outer wall here, that black box there underneath the speaker. And so that's going to allow those who are hard of hearing or who use a hearing aid device will be able to use a speaker, a headset that we can provide them to enhance the volume in the room, since we know that that's been a concern that's been raised by some people.
Just so. Got some positive feedback here from a viewer.
Oh. So thank you. Thank you, viewer.
Real-time results.
100 times better.
Wow. That's great.
That's great. Well, you know, good things.
Thank you, manager.
Both in terms of sound and picture.
Wow. Good things come to those who wait. So, okay. That's very good news. Thank you. Martin Luther King Day is Monday, the January 19th, so it's a week from Monday, and the offices will be closed that day, and garbage will be delayed a week. So that's before our next meeting, so I wanted to remind people of that. Also, for those who have alarm systems, whether they're fire alarm systems or burglar alarm systems, the annual renewal of the permits is coming shortly, maybe next week, Treasurer, the 15th, so expect that in the mail. And if you have an alarm system that is not registered, you can also reach out to the village clerk's office, and we will get you registered, because it is a requirement under the code that your alarm system be registered with the police. Just a reminder that we are having the public hearing on the franchise renewal for Altice / Optimum at our next meeting on January 21st. So anyone is welcome to come to that meeting and share their questions or concerns regarding the cable service in the village. If you've been here driving around during the daytime the past couple of days, you may have seen that there's been a lot of tree work that has been going on. Con Ed has been here in the village removing some hazardous trees that had the potential to take out lines or cause damage otherwise. So there's been, I think they've done 4 trees in different areas, and they'll be back tomorrow for their last day of work. They're going to be finishing the tree on the corner of Olcott and Maple, and then they have a tree to do on Riverview Trail tomorrow, which I think is the end of their work. So so that it's good to see them, you know, taking the initiative to try to remove hazards before they do any damage. And then lastly, the cold weather has been playing a bit of havoc on our water system. There's been a lot for us, water main breaks over the past 2 months, including 2 this past weekend. So I just wanted to acknowledge the work of the water department and DPW, who were pretty much here all day Sunday. They came in first thing Sunday morning to salt, because if you remember, it snowed Sunday, early Sunday morning, and then they had 2 separate water main breaks that they had to address. So they did a full day on Sunday, so we thank them for that. That's it.
Could you address the Half Moon Bay questions?
Oh, sure.
Half Moon Bay Bridge questions?
Were the just general...
We had a meeting on Monday night.
Of work.
So scope of work.
Yeah. Sure.
And yeah.
Yeah. So there was a webinar that was held on Monday. The video is available on the website for those who want to watch it. It was about a 40-minute presentation, so it's not too onerous. But basically, the engineer in charge of the project went through the timeline, the history of the work to date. And we're going to be rehabilitating the bridge. The bridge is about 40 years old at this point. It's the normal time frame that you would look to do some work on a bridge. The bridge is structurally sound. I just want to make that clear. At this point in time, it is structurally sound. There's no cause for concern. But, you know, as with any piece of infrastructure, you have to do maintenance on it, right? And so we're looking.
There's significant deterioration, or there's a fair amount of deterioration to justify this inconvenience.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's, yeah, but I don't want people to be, it's not going to collapse, or, you know, it's, mm-hmm. it's just, it has the normal wear and tear that a bridge would have after 40 years, right? And so it's something that needs to be addressed. And so that's what we're looking to do here. The village received funding from the federal government through our former congressman to cover a large portion of this work. The village had also bonded money previously to cover a portion of this work as well. So we have the funds available. We've been working on this now for 2 years. Well, we started it originally in 2015, and then it took a little bit of a pause with COVID and everything, and then we started it back up again in 2022, I think. And so we've been working on it for a little while now, getting all the plans in place. Because it's a federal aid project, we have to work through New York State DOT, and that has been, you know...
Deliberative.
And because the bridge spans the tracks of the railroad, that is another deliberative process. Yeah. So it's a lot of internal work that we have to do on the project. And then, as Trustee Nachtaler was saying, it's a lot of external work that we have to do as well, because it will be a change that people are going to have to acclimate themselves to for this the length of the project, which is going to, it's anticipated to be 14 months. Right. So there will be one lane of traffic that is maintained at almost all times. There may be some elements, temporary elements of the project that require a temporary closure, but the goal is to have one lane of traffic open at all times. And you know, we'll definitely be continuing our communication with the yacht club, the sailing school, Half Moon Bay, obviously, all the people that rely on access to the river.
The schools, with the buses. One of the questions was relating to, I think, footprint, or are we changing the size or the, and my understanding is it's the same footprint, right?
Correct. The bridge itself is not being replaced. The decking of the bridge is being replaced, right? The pillars of the bridge are being re-solidified. Right, they're being reinforced, but the actual bridge itself is not changing.
Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
So, and like I said, there is the webinar is posted on the website. There is also additional information on the project page if people want to read up about it. And if you read up on, or if you watch the webinar and a question comes to you, please feel free to reach out to me, and we'll get you an answer.
Okay, a question was also raised about an adjoining property, and, you know, for folks that have been following along, there was an application in 2024 for what is called a zoning petition to amend the zoning law to allow the redevelopment of the industrial zone in that area as residential or multifamily. Ultimately, that petition was withdrawn January 20th of last year, almost exactly 1 year ago, and sometime, I don't have written information regarding this, but it was relayed to me verbally by the property owner, that the lease for the current industrial tenant was renewed for a period of in excess of 5 years. So there will not be a change in use for the remainder of this decade.
Thank you. Yep. Thank you.
All right, and with that, we proceed to the consent agenda. Do I have a motion on consent?
So moved.
Agenda? Do I have a second?
Mayor, would it be possible to pull out 6A, number 2, the memo regarding the Black Dog, the Black Rock Dog Park? I just want some context on why the time was set till 4 p.m. in the first place.
Sure. I don't think we have to pull out. We can just cover it in discussion, because we're not taking an action tonight. We're just acknowledging receipt of the memo.
Okay.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
Second by Trustee Simon, second by motion by Trustee Simon, second by Trustee Nicholson. Discussion. So
just to answer Trustee Nachtali's question, the dog park hours were set after a long period of deliberation between the dog park users and the neighbors of Quaker Bridge Road. The compromise solution that was developed was to have longer hours on the weekdays and shorter hours on the weekends when residents are more likely to be home and making use of their outdoor property. So that was the message that was portrayed by the residents of Quaker Bridge Road. And so, you know, the dog park users who were represented by one or two of right. their patrons
right.
Agreed to these hours. And then when the compromise had been made, the proposal was presented to the board.
Yep.
And I don't remember if we actually voted on it or if it was just something that I was able to implement myself. But in any regard, we all were in agreement with the hours, and that's what we moved forward with.
And how long have the hours been in place as is? Was that a recent development?
No, it's been at least
since 2020, early 21.
Okay.
That process. And that process that was followed with both the users and the residents, you know, yielded not only that compromise on the hours, but also the signage, improvements in the signage, increases in police and park ranger presence up there in the park, and even things like plantings to absorb some of the sound. So I think it was a good process that, as far as I can tell, has led as Mr. Sasso indicated earlier, just to a relatively calm period in recent years.
What would be the process for neighbors just to have the opportunity to speak, like we heard today, in favor for increasing, but in case there are any neighbors who are against it, what would be the opportunity to hear that?
Well, I mean, I think as I said earlier, we're going to have this on a work session agenda, and I have to refresh my memory on to whether I set the hours of the park or if that's a decision that the board makes. And then, so depending on what the answer to that question is, it would either come back for a resolution to the board, or, you know, we could tell people that we were discussing it, put it in a newsletter or something, and let people share their thoughts.
Yeah, okay. And including the use of the limited use of the park, a dog park by the school system residents.
Yes, correct. Yeah. And that may actually, I'm pretty sure that will need, maybe not actually.
Well, Black Rock Park, or the dog park, is the only park currently that
School district residents
have access to all the other parks except for this one. And I was on the rec advisory committee when this was discussed, and I don't really remember exactly what the discussions were, although they were lengthy. But I think part of the compromise was expanding the hours of the park, but limiting the scope of who would be there, you know, because there were a lot of complaints at that time about noise from the dog park.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever allowed school district residents. I think it's always been village residents only, because at least as I understand it, it's always been that we wanted to have access to the dog's records, right? So we wanted to have their license information and their rabies vaccinations and that sort of thing. So
right, but the discussion did happen then, I guess, and we'll talk about this in the work session, but I am, and I didn't, Trustee Nicholson, you probably sat through the conversations.
I did.
But I am curious about how the number 12 school, how that was decided upon. So I'm interested to hear more about that when we have the work session discussion.
Yeah. And I think the number 12 is sort of
arbitrary
number, but it's kind of a controlled number to let a low number in and see how it goes kind of thing. And then we would need to figure out a mechanism of getting that rabies certification from the towns and
I'm not saying that the reason that was provided was a good reason, but that was was always the reason that was given, because it's very easy if you wanted to make
at the time the desire was to compromise because there was a lot of concern about the noise.
Yeah.
So making some type of putting some type of parameters up, but I'm glad that we're revisiting it because it sounds like
timely.
Things have changed
since
that time.
So I was able to pull up the hours for the park. So prior to COVID, the park's hours were 8 to 8 on the weekdays and 10 to 4 on the weekends.
Okay.
So, and then during COVID, we limited the hours. It was only open on weekdays and they were staggered hours. So like it was open in the mornings and the afternoons on some days, and it was open in the afternoons and evenings on other days, but we didn't want it open on the weekends because we didn't want people gathering together, right? Wonderful times. So
the dogs were getting COVID.
Right?
The masks on the dogs.
Yeah. And then I think, the idea was in 2021, right, that we realized, we had more knowledge of how the virus worked, and we were able to say, okay, we can reopen the park during the weekends. And then it was at that point that we decided that we were going to put in the date range, because one of the complaints was that, people could be there at 8 o'clock at night at this time of year,
right?
And it's pitch black.
Right.
So we changed it to be open shorter hours during the winter months and the 8 to 8 during the warmer months. And so these hours have been pretty much the same since 2021.
Okay.
So it's always, at least as far as I can tell, it's always been 10 to 4 on the weekends. That doesn't seem to have changed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then just back to Trustee Nachtaler's question around process. So we'll take this to a work session.
Yep.
If at that work session we decide to make an action, so to extend the hours, then it would come back to a public hearing, and at that point the public would weigh in, and the neighbors. We would also probably at that work session sort of talk through communicating out to the neighbors this prior to get their feedback.
Yeah. I just need to check, like I said, on the actual, if it's manager authority or board authority.
Yeah,
about
that's what I was wondering. I thought it might have been manager.
So,
If it is manager authority.
Yeah. So we're still going to have, it will still go to a work session to have the conversation, my point is just that if it's under the authority of the manager, then there's no real action that's needed by the board. So I may not have to come back to a formal meeting agenda, but I will have the answer to that before we talk about it at the work session.
Excellent.
So,
and then for the other items that are recommended by the RAC, an installation of AED at Black Rock Park, that would be part of our budget process. We would need to put the funds together in order to do that.
Or if we wanted to, find out how much the cost is and see if we have the funds available in this year's budget. Because if it's a relatively modest cost, we might be able to get it done sooner if that's what we want to do.
Great. And then with the CPR and first aid course.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't be able to do that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
All right. Further discussion on consent agenda items?
I do just want to call out one of the speakers said about the Conservation Advisory Council that is heroic work by a team of volunteers. So I also want to congratulate you on a very, very fantastic year of serving the village in so many different aspects. So thank you to the CAC.
I also want to reiterate those congratulations, and the chair is open to taking questions from the board if anyone has any, or we can proceed. It's up to you. Okay. I think the board expresses its gratitude. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
But also before you leave, thank you for serving as chair. You're leaving large shoes to fill.
Yes.
So,
Mayor and I are working together one more month to kind of streamline leadership. decided to keep going until we get the next steps all figured out.
Thank you so much. I don't want to belabor it, but I know you did some big things, but also you did some really small things that were really impactful. When I get off at the Sinesqua exit and I see those, saw those flowers popping up, I know that was something that you guys did, and it was very small, but it was really meaningful. So thank you for all the big and little things.
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. We have a great committee and great people on it, and we appreciate your support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Good night.
Good to see you. All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right, excellent. We now proceed to proposed resolutions.
Okay. Whereas the Village of Cortland Hudson assumed the ownership of and maintenance requirements for the Half Moon Bay Bridge over the Metro North Railroad tracks in 1996, and whereas in order to address past safety issues and the proper maintenance of the bridge, the Village is moving ahead with the rehabilitation and reconstruction of the Half Moon Bay Bridge. Whereas on February 7, 2024, the Village Board of Trustees adopted Resolution 29 of 2024 to accept the proposal from Tectonic Engineering of Rocky Hill, Connecticut, to provide consulting and engineering design services for the project. And whereas Tectonic has provided the proposal to cover an additional scope of work related to the pier, cam, beam repair needed for the bridge, and the completion of state requirements for coastal assessment in the amount of $41,540. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Village Board hereby authorizes the Village Manager to accept the proposal from Tectonic Engineering for the above scope of work, and be it further resolved that funding for such work is available in account H5110.2106.15287.
All right. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Trustee Simon, second by Trustee Knopfteller. Discussion.
Manager, as I read the details of the scope of change, some of this has to do with alterations in the process that they needed to make because there's certain work you can't do with an active railroad underneath. So they had to sort of, rather than replace some things, they'll be doing what amounts to a cap underneath.
There was an idea at first of being able to put in these temporary support beams, which would allow them to have basically put the weight on these temporary beams and allow them to work more efficiently on the other beams, and the railroad put the kibosh on that. Yeah. So the option was either they could have done it from above, right, as opposed to doing it from the tracks. They could have done it from above, but that would have required the full closure of the bridge. So they had to do this other option, which is it involves basically taking some concrete and like filling in the areas of the beams that need the additional support. And it's more labor intensive work that's going to, so that's why there's a change in the design.
And I think one of the benefits of the webinar on Monday night, frankly, was, you know, some of the pictures that shows the extent of the railroad operations.
Yeah.
Because we either drive over the bridge or we walk over it or we bicycle over it, but we don't really see
what's going on underneath it. Yeah.
So
Yep.
Just speaking of the webinar, can you tell us how many people were on it?
I think at the max there were 22 people on it, 22 viewers, not including. Tectonic and the Village team, yeah.
So I guess my question is just, is there some way to, can we put it somewhere that's a little, I don't know exactly where it lives. I assume it's on the projects page?
It's on the project page, and then it's also on the live stream page.
It's on the live stream.
Yeah,
okay.
The same place anyone would go to see any of our meetings.
And was something sent out? I think an invitation was sent out inviting people to attend the meeting.
Yep.
And then was something sent out afterwards saying, here's the video? I just think that people are interested in the project.
Yeah.
And I thought that it was a great high level overview of what's going to happen and the questions that were asked. Mm-hmm. So I think that if we could maybe push that out a little more, put it more prominently on the website, send out an email, do something with it. I think that would be, because I think more people are going to be talking about it.
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay, thanks.
Yep.
Okay. All right. And the next item of business is Oh, sorry. Did we do?
No, I think we just have a final vote.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Yeah. Next item of business is the adoption of a negative secret declaration.
Okay. Whereas local law introductory number 14 of 2025 has been drafted to permit the Village Board of Trustees to appoint an alternate member to the Planning Board and Zoning Board of Appeals for the term of one official year. Whereas on September 24th, 2025, the Village Board of Trustees declared itself lead agency for CEQA purposes. Whereas on December 17th, 2025, the Village Board of Trustees undertook the process and review described in detail in parts 2 and 3 of the short EAF determination of significance attached tier 2. Whereas the Village Board held a public hearing to consider local law introductory number 14 of 2025, which was opened and closed on December 17th, 2025. And whereas the Village Board has received a recommendation of consistency from the Waterfront Advisory Committee with the Village's local waterfront revitalization program. And whereas the Village Board must make its own determination of consistency with the LWRP policy standards and conditions. And whereas on December 17th, 2025, the Village Board reviewed the LWRP policy standards and conditions. Now, therefore, be it resolved as follows. The Village Board of Trustees determines that after reviewing the LWRP policy standards and conditions, none were found to be applicable for the proposed action. And be it further resolved that based upon the above, the Village Board of Trustees confirms its determination that the proposed action, the adoption of a local law to appoint an alternate member to the Planning Board and Zoning Board of Appeals for the term of one official year, complies with the policy standards and conditions set forth in the Village's LWRP. And be it further resolved that the Village Board of Trustees hereby issues and adopts the EAF Parts 2 and 3 Determination of Significance attached here to, and adopts a negative declaration in connection with this action. And be it further resolved that the Village Board of Trustees hereby adopts local law introductory number 14 of 2025 to amend Chapter 230 Zoning to appoint an alternate member to the Planning Board and Zoning Board of Appeals for the term of one official year, which upon adoption becomes local law number 1 of 2026.
Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Second.
Motion by Trustee Simon, second by Trustee Nicholson. Discussion.
So just as a reminder, this law, if you choose to adopt it tonight, only gives you the option to do this. You at no point are required to appoint an alternate member. It just allows you to have the ability, should there be a sudden absence from the board, whether it's a medical issue or somebody finds themselves out of the area for a long period of time, or if somebody has a conflict, right, where there's a large project that might be coming and somebody is conflicted and you want to have a full board available to review the project. So, I think that this is a smart course of action. A number of other municipalities have this on the books. And it just gives you a little more flexibility if you choose to use it.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
Yep.
And just to clarify, so it really is to the mayor's discretion, though. It's his decision if we wouldn't have to come back to us for a vote for adding an alternate.
No, it is. It's the mayor's appointment with the consent of the board.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep.
Wait, and can I ask a clarifying question based on something you just said about a person having a conflict?
Mm-hmm.
So if a member of the zoning or planning board has a conflict with a particular project, then could they just opt out of that particular project but participate fully in all the other?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't happen with any of the projects we now see. But there are sometimes you have long-term projects where people are going back for numerous.
Yeah, I just didn't remember discussing the way you worded it. I didn't remember discussing that when we had the previous discussion about this.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to clarify if this was a person that would sort of come in and out, or if it would be like you would move out for all of the business.
If it was somebody that if there was a conflict, then it would just be for the one project.
Okay.
Yeah. If it was for something else, like it was a long term absence, then that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I'm thinking if somebody on the zoning board had something coming before the zoning board, then the alternate member would
sit for that one project.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's necessary to have the flexibility. These boards are volunteers. They're incredibly hardworking volunteers, so it helps us to have some flexibility
mm-hmm.
in case something comes up.
Yep.
Okay. Further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Fantastic. Okay. All right, we proceed to public comment on non-agenda items. Anyone wishing to comment on anything, this is your opportunity.
Ed Riley from Truesdale Drive. I think the, just to comment on Saturday's activities, I think the area around Wells Fargo Bank is a perfect place to protest, both locally and regionally. I look forward to more protests there. The last one was sponsored by Indivisible, which is a left wing of the Democratic Party, sort of the Democratic Socialist Wing. So we look forward to using that place also. Just as a general question, I love the menorah because the menorah is symbolic of two things. One, this, our great religious heritage, which is an incredible gift, and it's also the symbol of religious freedom, especially in our times right now when we've seen anti-Semitic persecution like we've never seen before. I would just like to know the if the village manager would go into detail about how it's erected, permission, non-permission. I'm all for it. I'll put it up myself. And also at that same location, there is a brass marker to a staff sergeant, John Levis, who died at age 52. It's an unusual marker. It's in the middle of nowhere. It's on a rock. What the background is that. On a darker note, as you know, the state of New York now promotes assisted suicide. In a matter of time, it will promote assisted suicide through the medical facilities and the corporate facilities and the hospitals and the corporations, like those death committees that we heard about under Obama. It's another Democrat landmark. One of the specific sponsors is Amy Paul, and she was one of the principal sponsors, and in that darkened hall meeting she had 10 years ago, less than 10 years ago, in Scarsdale Women's Club, she said, when people asked, well, what about if you can't administer the suicide yourself? You know, can you have somebody else do it? Or what about if it's a child or underage, like they do in Switzerland, 8 or 10 years old? Well, at first we'll get this, and then we'll move on to those other things, which is exactly what will happen in New York State. The same thing they did with abortion, where abortion is legal throughout all 9 months. And what goes on in this state right now would curl your hair. So a point on that is that there are federal conscience protections for druggists and doctors. And if you are a pharmacist regarding assisted suicide drugs or RU-46, this terrible abortion drug, if you can't find a lawyer, you call me, and I'll find you a lawyer to beat this system so you don't have to implement the policies of your corporation or your state government. In the last 2 minutes, I'd like to point out that I handed out to the secretary, and I'd like to thank the village manager for the cooperation on this project. The more we dig into this project, the more we discover the project being the 250th anniversary of the Revolutionary War and our nation's founding. This will be 250 years for our Declaration of Independence this July. And to recognize local heroes who participated in that war, one of which, the most outstanding of which, well, almost the most outstanding, is a guy named John Patterson. And for 250 years, they've been calling him John Peterson, or Rifle Jack, or sort of in his statements to get a pension for poverty, he said, hey, my name is John Patterson. But they persist in calling him Jack Peterson. So we propose a sign, and we're working with the village manager on this, and he's been very patient. Because in the process, we've dug up more bodies. There is indeed a second veteran buried at Bethel Cemetery. His name is Sylvanus Tompkins. He was not anywhere the soldier that this guy, Jack Patterson, was. Rifle Jack Peterson, a black guy. He said he was a little bit Indian. Who knows? We'll let the high school do the research on that. Was an outstanding soldier. Rifle Patterson, Peterson, was an outstanding soldier. In the process, the village historian thinks he's uncovered another Revolutionary War veteran who died in captivity, a teller, and he believes he found another one who was a Quaker who was buried over near the foot of Mount Airy. Of course, there are other two veterans being Philip Van Cortlandt and Pierre Van Cortlandt. Thank you.
Time's up. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Judy Rayer, 3 Gerstein Street. I recently retired in April, and I'm joining and becoming more aware of everything that's going on in the town. And I am a painter and not a house painter. And I am getting more involved in the arts in Croton. And I've been attending a lot of the village advisory boards and the CCOA meetings, et cetera. And I do feel that we need to be able to put some type of, I'm going to say the word signage, but I don't necessarily know if it should be a sign or whatever, where we kind of need some place where people can actually see what the exhibits are going on in the town. Where it's not just on digital. It needs to be something that people can see. We've been posting flyers everywhere, like ShopRite and the stores, and people look at them, but they don't see them. And then when you have the people come to your event, you say, how did you find out about this? And people will say, somebody told me. You know, somebody got an email and they told me about it, but I didn't see anything. And I know that I've gone and I've put all these flyers up everywhere I could think of. Nobody sees them. Is there a way that we can get be able to put something up that would be or something a little bigger? Or do we have a place designated in town where we can post something that people can actually see as they're driving by? Or I know that when you drive into town, there are a few signs about Croton, and sometimes there were signs about like Summerfest, things like that. I don't know, I'm just trying to throw something out there. I just know it's been very frustrating. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Manager, in response to that, could you just give a quick update on our kiosk
as an
example?
I mean, the kiosk is somewhere where, you know, but that's just for flyers.
Right.
That's, mm-hmm. you know, I don't think that will necessarily solve the speaker's question, but we do have the banners that hang up at the train station,
mm-hmm.
Which certainly catches your eye as you go down to the train station.
Yeah.
So, you know, if the CCOA wanted to put up a banner for their upcoming show or anything like that, I know the Holiday Boutique that is in this building in every December puts up a banner there. So it's
for nonprofits.
It's a very modest
nominal
fee.
$25.
Correct. Right? Yeah, it's $25 a week to hang the banner, and that's it's very modest. So.
The village doesn't have a visual, like an automated digital sign.
No, we don't
board,
have
right?
digital sign
okay.
boards. No,
okay.
no, we just, well, yes, in this building we do, but not anywhere outside. So, yeah, I would say the best place would be the banner location going into the train station. So.
Yeah, and there, I think over time there ought to be ways we can enhance the community calendar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which I think is a logical place for those things to appear. It's a digital as opposed to physical, but at least it's one way of making sure that these are represented.
Yeah, and just with the kiosk, we're going to be we're currently working on the guidelines for the postings for the kiosk. Yeah. So, you know, the rec department is going to update the flyers once a week. And so people can just, you know, nonprofit organizations, it's not for people to post their tag sales or whatever, but not, you know, qualified organizations can send their flyers to the rec department, and then once a week they'll go down and update whatever needs to be updated. So,
and I was going to say it during my report, but I think it might be appropriate to.
We can segue
now
right into your report.
But we are, the village has engaged with a communications firm,
yep.
And you know, that which is going to be taking a holistic look at how we communicate everything in all the different ways, you know, more effectively using our social media, maybe rethinking what's on the website, but also how can we communicate with people that are not on their computer or their phone all the time. I think that we're just at the beginning of this process, but there are a lot of opportunities for growth and improvement in this area, and I think that a combination of that, as well as the organizations, as we discussed last night at the, I don't know how close I have to, as we discussed last night, I guess the ABC is going to be, well, I'll just go into my report. I was at the Arts and Humanities Committee last night, and at the Arts and Humanities Advisory Committee meeting last night, and there was a representative from the ABC there who mentioned that the village would be engaging with the ABC in a way so that our committees would be able to have access to the marketing that is going to be helping businesses, could also encompass the different committees of the village if the village becomes a member of the ABC.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to have to talk about that during the budget time, right? Because we haven't received whatever membership proposal they're going to present to us as of yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was the idea, is that the village will become a member of this organization.
So I think it's fair to say we know that there is opportunity for growth here, and especially working with this new communications firm, there is a lot of opportunity for that. Speaking of the arts, thank you. Did you want to speak? Did you? It's still public comment time. I just want to make sure you didn't want to speak, Steve.
I'm good.
Okay. Okay. So also at the Arts and Humanities meeting last night, we were talking about the second phase of the banners. And so not for discussion at this meeting, but I did touch base with the mayor about it. I would like to, at the work session, discuss the allocation of funds enough to cover. We know what the cost is going to be. We know we have the files. But I just want to make sure that we are producing the second round of artist banners to be hung at the same in the spring. And so in order to do that, I would like to discuss expediting the funds of that, not at this meeting, but I just want to make sure that gets put on the work session meeting. I wanted to congratulate, I guess there were three Eagle Scouts who were recognized, who were honored. They earned their Eagle Scout this week. It was Luca Camilleri, Alden Huff, and I just want to look at his name because I'm going to mispronounce it, Hunter Skudzinski. Is that right, Mayor? I think you were you?
Yeah, I was there, Skudzinski.
Skudzinski, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I also wanted to acknowledge that the village lost Jesse Beller this week or last week. Gratefully, we were just able to celebrate his 100th birthday on September 28th with a really incredible, well-attended event. But he was a small guy who was a giant in the village, and I think he will definitely be missed. So I just wanted to, take a minute to remember him and be grateful to all he has brought to the village over his 100 years. The manager said it before, but I think the cold wet, we have seen a lot more water main breaks than I remember seeing in a long time. Maybe it's a colder winter than it has been. One right at the end of Michael's Lane even. So I just did want to shout out the DPW and the water department who are really, their work does not get easier in the winter months. And then we've talked about it ad nauseum now, but I thought that the Half Moon Bay presentation was great. It is a big project. I don't think I realize how often I go over that bridge, and it's going to be a lot. I'm going to think about it a lot more when I'm sitting waiting for the light to turn green. So I did appreciate the information. I'm looking forward to seeing it progress, and you know, and it's another great opportunity for us to work on making sure residents are informed about what happened. So thank you very much. Happy New Year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess we're in reports now.
Okay. Is that all right? Sorry.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'm not going to repeat a few things Maria said. So well said, Maria. One thing that's come up, and maybe we can talk about it with the manager offline, but something I'm hearing from like the Seniors Club and from other communities is ShopRite, a very vital retailer in our community, has been very gracious to committees and groups in our community in terms of sponsoring events. And they're starting to hear that, you know, the sponsorship well is drying up a bit, and you know, it's gone from supporting programs in the summer that they've typically done that have been thousands of dollars to, I'm going to give you a $100 gift card. So not to solve for tonight, I just wanted to ask, because I'm new with this, you know, is this, if this is something that we could take offline just to see how can we approach this holistically? Because if so many groups approach a company with one-offs, you know, it's hard to really have a strategic conversation at a higher level, you know, and if that needs to be with Wakefern, the parent company, or, you know, start here, but I'm happy to provide any assistance or support to, you know.
Generally, the village is not allowed to solicit for donations or gifts. So we really can't go to ShopRite and say, oh, you know, are you able to give us XYZ? So I don't really know if that's a conversation that we can.
Interesting.
I think if you want to discuss the parameters of these things, we could do so in an advice of council at some point, just so we get everybody up to speed and know what we can and cannot say. And what
okay.
We can.
Yep.
Which is fine.
No, I just they're clearly an important
And there's
partner,
been some managerial changes there.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly. So I think there's some growing. Probably too.
Yeah. Hopefully that will settle. Yeah, because the manager was there for the long term was.
And it's the new manager that's now passing on.
Yeah, so hopefully, hopefully that will, as that new person, I haven't met the new person. There was a manager there who was only there for a couple of months, and then there's a new person there, I guess, mm-hmm. who. I haven't had the chance to meet yet, but hopefully as that person gets the understands the landscape, they'll be able to make some, you know, informed decisions.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
So happy New Year, everyone. I just want to congratulate. I was honored to be at the fire department induction last night with the mayor, Trustee Nachtdahler, and Trustee Simon. Just want to thank Phil Dinkler, Chief Dinkler, for his service. He is now stepping down from being chief and is going to be another role in the fire department. But congratulations to Chris Colombo, Chris Cattacherry, and Frank Strini, who are our chiefs this year. And many, many thanks to everyone serving on the volunteer fire department. I also got to poke into the new EMS facility last night, which was really amazing to see. They are thrilled with their new home, so the DPW did a fantastic job. They were telling me that they're actually gonna double, they have a volunteer program for high school students. They're now going to be able to double that program, so they're gonna have 50 students that are eligible for that program, which is very, very popular and has a wait list. So that was really nice to hear, but the ribbon cutting for that building will be sometime in the near future, so hopefully the full public will get to see the great work that DPW did. And just another shout out to the DPW in the wintertime and with the snow and the holidays and water main breaks and all of the things that are going on. Many, many thanks to them for their hard work. That's it.
Great, thank you. And just as long as we were talking about our communications efforts, I just did want to point out the latest edition of our Village newsletter has a new feature, and I wanted to thank our communications team and as well as the manager for adding the video element to the manager's report in the newsletter, which is not only good to see the manager speaking, but also to see all of the integrated video of all these things. So in addition to having someone talk about the new EMS facility, you actually just get to see it right there, as well as some other things. So I think the first of good things to come from our communications effort in terms of our kind of communications with our community broadly, and I think works very well. Let's see, a couple other things. Busy sort of pre and post holiday time. On December 19th, the manager and I met with the Welcome Wagon. We're very fortunate to have such an active Welcome Wagon, great leaders there. They asked us to assist them in helping to recruit new members to the Welcome Wagon. So we're gonna be doing that also through a number of our communications efforts. And so again, every time I meet someone that's new to Croton, I ask them if our Welcome Wagon has found them, and the success rate is extremely high. But we do need to get some more members to participate in that effort, and we will. As Trustee Nicholson said, it was great to be there with the incoming team at the fire department installation last night. Thanks to outgoing Chief Dinkler and incoming Chief Chris Colombo and Assistant Chiefs Chris Catarino and Joe Strini, as well as a couple weeks earlier at our fire council meeting. And I pointed out at the installation last night that at our fire council meetings, it's now almost a tradition that in the middle of the fire council meeting, there's a fire call, and the fire council is delayed anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour because our fire guys work 24/7. So it's been a busy time for them. On January 2nd, we had the opportunity to sit down for the first time with our new project mover, Regional Director David Curran, and we toured around Croton and looked at some possibilities for our expansion once the winter hibernation ends in April, and we'll continue to work on that. And the success has been terrific in terms of the numbers of riders and not only in Croton but elsewhere in the region. And we'll look forward to our second phase in April. At the EMS installation on Sunday, it's our week of installations, it was great to be there with the mayor and to thank Captain Tiffany Giglio, First Lieutenant Stacy Conklin, Second Lieutenant David Kreischheimer, and the executive officers of Bill McCabe, John Donnelly, Samantha Delaney, and Rich Ellison. They do amazing work for our village. Later that day was also joined the mayor at the and I think Trustee Slippin was there as well for the swearing in of the new new Cortland officers, or for new terms for Dr. Richard Becker and Deputy Town Supervisor Jim Creighton and others, including Kristen Jacoby, Debbie Carter, and our own Croton residents LaRue Shatskin, and our great town justice, Kimberly Regasso. So I think we enjoy the best relationship we've ever had, as far as I know, can tell, with the town of Cortland. So it was just great to be there. And just final word, we've talked a lot about the Half Moon Bay Bridge tonight in many different ways. And just want to say that the work that we're doing on Half Moon Bay is, of course, not a replacement. It is no way to be conflated with Quaker Bridge. In fact, what we're doing on Half Moon Bay Bridge is to make sure it never becomes a Quaker Bridge situation. So I think we have that well in hand. Just a couple of last items. I bring greetings from our former Congressman, Richard L. Ottinger, who served this side of Westchester from 1965 to 1971, and then from 1974 to 1984, the other side of Westchester. He was my congressman when I was growing up in Yonkers, and so to tell you, the district did actually represent Yonkers and Croton in those days, but he was also became both a friend and a mentor and an employer over the years. He turns 97 this month. Well, was very interested in all the things that we're doing here in Croton, sends his greetings. Of course, he went on to head up the Pace Law School for 15 years after he left the Congress, and is very, very glad that we're working so closely with Pace on a number of things. So I just wanted to wish him a happy new year and tell you that he sends along his greetings to you. And last but not least, it's our first board meeting of the new year, so it's going to be a year of both challenges and opportunities. And I look forward to working with everyone on the dais here, everyone in the audience, everyone listening on our sharp new well broadcast signal there, and of course everyone in Croton.
Happy New Year in high def, and I pass.
So I had the honor of swearing in our EMS officers on Saturday and presenting certificates of appreciation to the outgoing officers, Richard Ellison, John Delaney, and Anita Dominello. So congratulations to the new officers, and thank everyone in the EMS for their service. And we'll be doing a recognition in the coming weeks for the top responders in that department. In terms of other village servants, I will be appointing Steve Kriske to the Planning Board, John Tooman to the Zoning Board of Appeals, Christina Alvarez-Arnold to the IDEA Committee, in addition to Vanessa Valenti, and I will be appointing Faith Rivers as Chair of the IDEA Committee, and Steve Kriske as the Planning Board Representative to the WAC. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Trustee Simon, second by Trustee Nicholson. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, excellent. And again, going back to community servants, before I have a motion to close, I'd like to observe a brief moment of silence in honor of Jesse Beller, who was a true Renaissance man and also a member of this board from 1985 to 1991, in addition to a lot of other great things that he did. And manager, do you have anything else you need to add?
No, I don't think so.
Do I have a motion to close?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Trustee Simon, second by Trustee Nicholson. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Thank you.
Thank you.